This is our last message on James. This is part 10. And we've been doing this series. It's gone on for 10 Sundays. James is 5 chapters. And chapter 5 alone, I could probably preach 10 messages out of. So it is full of insightful wisdom, divine wisdom from God on Christian living, on who we are to be in Christ, on the way we conduct ourselves in this world. And so James 5 today is going to be where we conclude this series. And today we're talking about enduring suffering. Enduring suffering. This is a topic that is a challenge for a lot of people. The challenge is that we all suffer from time to time. And the question always comes up, why does God allow that? And so if you look at where we are today in this world, in this time period, we live in a world where every want, every desire, just about every need can be met almost instantaneously. It's a world where we can snap our fingers and things happen. If you have a headache, you take a Tylenol. If you have a bad headache, you take
two or three.
You take a extra strength Tylenol, right? You need a new TV. There's this awesome service called Amazon. You log on to your computer and it shows up that day. Never thought I'd see that day. Want to learn how to repair something in your house, like wiring?
YouTube.
Get online to YouTube. You can be a master wirer in no time at all, right? You can learn a trade in pretty quickly. This concept in the world we live in today is set an expectation that because we're able to get things so instantaneously, we want God to work the same way. We expect a quick fix for anything that goes wrong in our life. You know, quick fixes may be part of the physical world we live in, but it's not necessarily how the kingdom of God works. And so we take our physical world and we want to apply it to the spiritual world. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't always work the same way. When I was thinking through this, I thought about all the ways in which Satan uses the physical world to draw us away from God. And could it be that our instantaneous things that are available to us today are maybe another one of Satan's plots to distract us? If we can fix physical things quickly, but not spiritual things, then maybe we'll grow impatient with God. Seems like a pretty wise tactic. Maybe we'll begin to believe that God doesn't care. I'm hurting, you haven't fixed me, maybe God just doesn't care. Maybe we believe that he isn't even coming back like he said he was. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was last here. Are you really coming back? Maybe we'll even believe he doesn't even exist. Those all seem like a pretty wise plot of Satan if he's trying to pull us away from God. James reminds us in chapter 5 today that patience is required for the Christian life. We have to learn to be patient. God does things in his own timing. And sometimes we don't want to wait for God to act. We don't realize that God is supreme and he's got a plan, a good plan. And so we go through this thought process of he doesn't care. He's not coming back. He may not even exist because my needs aren't being met right now. And that's a dangerous thought process for us to be in. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at James 5. James chapter 5. And again, there's a YouVersion event created if you have the YouVersion app. And our main text today is going to be verses 7 through 11. Do I have any volunteer that would like to read verses 5 or 7 through 11 today?
I will.
Okay.
Therefore, brethren, upon unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman
waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until we receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Thank you, Sandra. So I want to just call out a couple of key themes in these verses. The first one is pretty obvious. It's about being patient. We see that word, at least in the NIV, four times. The word patient. Another key theme that he's showing us here is perseverance. The definition of perseverance is steady persistence in course of action. A purpose, a state, etc., especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. He's saying we need to persevere. And there's even a theological definition of this, and it says continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. And that's what James is talking about here, a continual state of grace until we reach that point in time of our salvation. Another theme he's talking about is enduring suffering. So obviously, suffering's been around for a while. It's a form of piety. And he's telling us we need to stay true to our devotion of God. And the last and final theme here is about a time period. It's about waiting until the Lord returns. We are to be patient until the Lord returns. So if we put all these themes together, it kind of goes like this. Be patient. You know what patience is?
Waiting.
Waiting. And just, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. You know, your birthday's, if it's like a week away, and you know their presents, you got to just wait and wait until you can open those presents. That's challenging, isn't it? Enduring suffering, persevere until the Lord returns. If we condense this whole topic together, that's what it says. And three of those things are actions. Be patient, endure suffering, and persevere. Those are actions. Those are things we do. And then there's a time frame. How long do we do it? Until the Lord returns. I believe that this whole text from James here is a call to action. There are things we are to do until a time period. So let's talk about being patient a little more. I think we all know the definition of patience, but I want to read it because I always think this helps us get a clearer picture. The definition of patience is bearing provocation, annoyance, misfortune, delay, hardship, pain, etc., with fortitude and calm, and without complaint, anger, or the like. Being calm. Waiting calmly on the Lord. You know what calm is? I don't think you do, Micah, do you?
I know.
Do you?
It means being still.
Yes, ma'am. Just being cool, being chill is the word today, right? Being chill. Here's some synonyms for being patient. Uncomplaining.
You don't
complain. Long-suffering. Being passive, being calm. Unruffled, unexcited, composed. So if that's what we're talking about here, James is really telling us in the midst of our suffering, be composed, be calm, be patient. The Lord is coming. Now, this was 2,000 years ago. Jesus had just died on the cross. He was a hot topic of the time. People knew about him. And so quickly, people are already growing impatient. When's he coming back? And here we are 2,000 years later. So what or who are we to be patient with? And I want to address that. The first one we need to be patient with is God. A lot of times we lose our patience when it comes to God. We pray. We ask Him for certain things. We ask Him to take action for certain situations. And we don't see anything change. And so immediately we start to quit praying about that topic, or we just assume that God said no, and we move on. Romans 8:28. Does anybody have that verse up on their event? You want to read it?
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose.
That's a pretty incredible statement. Does He work for our bad? He works for our good. This requires patience. It's something I've had to learn over time is that God is an orchestrator. He's constantly putting pieces into place. And in times we least expect it, God has a plan, and we all of a sudden see that plan down the line. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool how that works. Well, based on this, we cannot say things like this or that will never happen. Last week, we were talking about James saying, you don't know what tomorrow will be. Well, here this Sunday, we still don't know what tomorrow will be. And we can't assume that circumstances or people will never change. If we say that, we're no longer putting our hope in God. We can't say things like, fill in the blank, it will always be this way. I've heard that so many times, and it just gets me frustrated. It's like, how do you know? Do you have a little faith in God that God can't change the situation? This or that person will never be different. They'll always be this way. Well, while we're being patient, we also need to be faithful in prayer. All those things I just said, God can change, but He's going to do it in His own timing. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So not only are we to be patient and wait on God's timing, but we are to bring those requests forward to God and do it in faith. Do it in faith. God is always at work. He does not sleep. God is always on the move. You ever heard that song? It's a good song. The other thing James points out that we need to be patient with is the church. The church. In James 5:9, he says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Reminds me of Moses when he led Israel through the desert for 40 years. Man, there was a lot of grumbling going on. I felt bad for Moses. Poor guy was just getting it from every direction. Well, here's a secret that I want to share with all of you. The church is full of imperfect people. Do you know that? The church is full of imperfect people, even the pastor. And because of that, we need to learn to be patient with one another. Nobody's exempt from that. We're all imperfect. We need to love one another and accept one another, faults and all. That's part of being patient, being calm, being willing to put up with others' differences. We need to be filled with compassion and mercy as Jesus showed us. The other thing we need to be patient with is patient in suffering. I've preached on this many times that Christians suffer. Throw the prosperity gospel out the window and recognize that if you're called to be a Christian, you are going to go through suffering. There's no escaping it. And we suffer in this world because the world is filled with imperfect people as well. Many of the people that we encounter may have never experienced God's love. Many have been rejected by people that should have loved them. Many have been rejected by the church. And many of these people, because of their hurts and not knowing the love of God, are filled with hatred. We can't expect that imperfect people are going to act perfectly. There's going to be times of opposition. There's going to be times where people oppose you. They reject what you have to say about Christ. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." You see, we are called to love. That's part of being patient. As we love each other, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. We love each other because God first loved us. The other thing about patience is it requires hope. When patience runs thin, it's because our hope runs thin. Something that we hope for no longer is there, or we don't believe it. In Romans 8:25, it says, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Hope is what we have. Hope is what we hold on to. Hope is what keeps us going through this world, because Christ is coming back. Our hope is in God alone. Not in our circumstances, not in our relationships, not in anything else in this world, but God alone. And when we are grounded in that hope, the things around us can collapse, but we still stand. We have to remember that our hope in God tells us that He is coming back. It tells us that He will be with you no matter what. It tells us that He will guide you and that He will deliver you. The other thing about our hope is it's based on truth. It's based on truth. God's Word is truth. In Titus 1:2, He tells us that, number one, God cannot lie. It's against His nature and character. He cannot lie. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. So if God cannot lie and God breathed the Scripture that we have today, then it must be true. In Isaiah 53:9, it says, "Nor was any deceit found in His mouth," talking about Christ. No deceit. He was the perfect, sinless person. So our hope, then, is based on truth. Truth about who God is, truth about what He did on the cross through His Son, truth about if we believe in our heart that He is our Savior and we confess with our mouth, we will be saved. That's all truth that we can put our hope into. And that hope helps us to be patient through the suffering. Now let's talk about suffering for a minute, because that's another theme in James 5, 7 through 11. As I say, God's people suffer. Well, why do we suffer? The first thing to remember is we don't suffer because God wanted us to suffer. We suffer, number one, because sin entered the world. Suffering is a direct result of sin. Before sin, there was no suffering. We suffer because we love. But what do I mean by that? We care. We care. When we care about things and we see things getting distorted and we see things on the wrong path, we suffer. We suffer because Christ also suffered. In Philippians 1:29, the writer said, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Doesn't go very well with the theology that we hear a lot of times, does it? The other thing about suffering is that God's people share in suffering. That's one of the reasons I believe God designed the church, the community of brothers and sisters coming together. That's why we gather, that's why we build community. Because when one suffers, we all suffer. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." That's our duty. That's what we're called to do. That's what love says. If somebody's suffering, we get in there and suffer with them. We have compassion. We walk with them through that, just as God walks with us through that. So does the Bible say we won't suffer? Anybody? No? It's pretty clear that we are going to suffer, and we do suffer. But we suffer patiently. Not only do we suffer patiently, but we persevere. And that's the other theme that James is talking about here. God's people do not give up. We have a hope that we can bank our lives on. It's based on truth. And we need to remember that love endures all things. Love endures all things. Love overcomes all things. And love heals all things. When you come to know the love of God, and the expression of that is your love for others, it can spur you on to persevere through anything. Perseverance is where I think we get in the most trouble. We get beat down too easily. We grow impatient. We begin to lose hope. And we no longer persevere. I've seen many of people that were on fire for God and all of a sudden went like this. Their hope just died out quickly. And I'll tell you what, when you start to grasp the fact that God said we're going to suffer, and you begin to realize that there's a time limit on that suffering. You also recognize that God is with you through that suffering. Then you can persevere just about anything that comes your way. James is pretty clear that this suffering and this patience and this endurance is going to last until a time. When does that end? When Jesus returns. There is a time when Christ is going to return. Many people have tried to figure that date and time out. It's a dangerous thing to do. He's going to return to gather his church. Does somebody have Hebrews 9:28 up on their event? You want to read it?
That was weird, right? When I went to it, like, it loading. I don't know what was happening. Okay. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Man, isn't that good news? You know Christ is going to come back? You're going to get to see Jesus someday, the Son of God?
Morning or night or noon.
That's right.
If
God's word is true, if it's God-breathed scripture, and there's so many people that have tried to discredit the Bible and have failed miserably, and God's word says that Jesus is coming back to gather his church, then to me, this is worth being patient for. This is so worth it. It's worth staying the course and being strong in Christ never losing hope, keeping your hope high up there. Because if you look at it, the suffering we endure is just a drop in the bucket compared to everlasting life. It may seem like a very long time right now, but in the whole scheme of things, it's very small. It's a drop in the ocean, if you will. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. When that day comes, you'll look back and you won't even remember the suffering, I would imagine. You'll look back and you'll think of nothing else. The glory of God revealed. That's going to be quite a day. God's people always stand firm in times of suffering. James pointed out a character that I want to share a few things about, Job. Have you ever heard of Job? No? One day, I want you to read the book of Job. It's long, but it's a good book. And Job endured great suffering. Great suffering. In the course of one day, Job loses his livestock, which at that time was a very big deal. It's like you losing all of your money in the bank. He lost his servants, his helpers. And he lost 10 children, all in one day. After that happened, Job was then afflicted with horrible sores all over his body. You lose everything and now you're just miserable. You're covered in sores. And during this time, Job's wife even encouraged Job to curse God, give up, and die. Job refused to curse God. Now, he had a lot of dialogue with God about why this was going on. After all of Job's suffering, God returned Job's health, and he gave him twice as much property as he had before. He was able to have children, and he had an extremely long life. He trusted God through his suffering. Now, I'm not saying in this physical world that's going to be the result, but the result is the glory of God. The result is the kingdom of God. There is some day where we are going to be with Christ, and that suffering will be no more. Look at King David. Jeez. I love the characters in the Bible. When I have somebody say, well, I'm not worthy to serve, or I've done this in my life, God doesn't love me. Man, I can just flip a page to any character in the Bible and say, look at what this person did. Well, David was no exception. He was a man after God's own heart, and boy, did he have a tough life. But the thing that David had was he had a heart for God. He loved God. David was chased from his home. He had a hit on him. King Saul was out to take his life. And he tried several times. And so here this man that was told he was going to be king of Israel is on the run in exile, hiding amongst his enemies, just going from place to place to place, lost his family, his friends. And through all of that, his faithfulness to God, later David becomes king of Israel. Another person we can read about that suffered greatly was Jesus. Isaiah 53:3, the prophet before Christ even came onto this earth with us, it says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He went through great suffering because he knew where his home was. He knew where his glory was going to be. He did it because he loved us. After he had suffered, we learn in Hebrews 1, 3 through 4, he said, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So every one of these characters that have suffered through time did not lose hope, continued to persevere, continued to stay the course and trust God, saw the glory every time. Here's the great news in all of this. And I love that song by Jeremy Camp. A time will come when God's people will suffer no more. Suffer no more. All this stuff we're going through here, like I said, you won't even think back. And that time comes when you meet Jesus face to face. When he comes and returns for his church, that suffering will be nothing. You'll be saying, man, I'm glad I stayed the course. I am so glad I put my trust in Christ. God's word assures us that there's a crown of life that awaits every believer that endures this. Going back to James 1, we talked about this in verse 12. He said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Crown of glory. Y'all want a crown someday? Best crown ever. That word is used throughout the Bible, this crown of glory. It is a reward like no other reward. It is worth the endurance and the suffering that we go through for this small time on earth. I remember Francis Chan in his video about his rope. He has a 50-foot rope, and there's an inch that has a red tape around it. I know, I love it. He said that red tape represents our life here on earth. And the rest of this rope represents eternity. He goes, why do we spend so much time focusing on that red tape when we have all of this here? And it's so true. Think about it. Here's the best news of all. A time is coming when he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That time is coming. We need to stay the course, persevere in our suffering. I know that we go through challenges in life. The very first disciples were not exempt from that either. They went through greater challenges than we will ever know. Obstacle after obstacle, and they stayed the course. I think of Paul so many times in prison, in chains. He doesn't let that slow him down. Even in prison, he's bringing people to Christ. He's not looking at his circumstance. He's looking at God, how can I serve you here? Poor Harry. When we go through those times, guys, do we ask ourselves that, God, how can I serve you in the midst of this? How can I bring you glory in the midst of this? I know that this stuff will perish. Nothing's guaranteed here on this earth. So let me not hold on to that, but hold on to you and serve you until that time comes when you return. That's what perseverance is. That's what staying the course is. We don't know how long we have on this earth. We need to use our time wisely. There are opportunities to serve all the time. There are opportunities to do God's will. And we think, oh, we got tomorrow, we can do that tomorrow. But I'm telling you, even during the suffering, we can serve God. Our hope is grounded in Him. All right, let me close this in prayer.